Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North. I'm Elise Quinn. Now, a new Quebec Bar Association report paints a dire picture of the challenges the justice system in the province's remote northern Aboriginal communities are facing. Now, Quebec justice system representatives, they travel to four different communities. They talk to everyone from local leaders and police to those involved in the region's traveling courts over a period of 2 years. And the report now, it sheds light on everything from infrastructure challenges to language issues. Now, to better understand these issues, we're joined today by Bernard Sinnott. Now, he's the president of the Quebec Bar Association, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about these challenges and what some of the solutions might be. Bernard Sinnott, hello.
Good morning.
Now, we could have done, honestly, maybe 20 different feature interviews about the issues that were raised in this report. So before we just home in on a few of them, I just wanted to know from you, just on a personal note, when this report was being put together, what was the biggest surprise or what was the biggest concern for you?
A few years ago, we had some information at the Bar of Quebec stating that the justice up north was sick. And we decided, the board of the Bar of Quebec decided to put in place four missions, and I was part of one of those four missions. And I can tell you that the mission I made last year in February, I went in Inukjuak and Pibunituk.
So those are, those are two of the Inuit communities in the north of Quebec.
Exactly. That what I realized? I realized that, first of all, there's a lack of understanding of what our system is. And what I mean by that is that it's the justice of the whites. That's how it's called. And so you have every 4 months a delegation of judges, crown prosecutors, defense lawyers landing in the same plane, from the same plane, and that go there, that take the arena or the gyms to make court sessions, and you have all these people that are accused of criminal offenses, mostly offenses concerning impaired driving or concerning assault or sexual assault, but they're not aware of how the system works. And the first thing they know, they're put in jail. They're sentenced to 6, 9, 12 months of prison without knowing exactly what has happened while they were in front of the tribunal. And that's a major problem, a major issue. And for example, in Saluit, it's a population. It's the northern north. It's past Hudson Bay. You have a population there of 1,500 people, okay? On these 1,500 people, you have about 800 adults. It's only 800 adults, and right now, you have more than 2,200 criminal cases pending in front of the court. That's for me. It's completely unreasonable, and people are waiting for trial or to get the justice for many years. If you're accused today, you may wait 2-3 years before being heard, and that's unreasonable. You have the right to a fair trial, but you have the right to be heard within a reasonable delay, and 2-3 years in our system, it's unacceptable.
Another interesting aspect of the report, sort of dovetailing on cultural issues, was also language issues. And we should remind people that in the province of Quebec, the official language is French, but that many of the Aboriginal peoples in northern Quebec, they aren't necessarily fluent in French or even in English, another one of Canada's official languages. So tell us a little bit about the challenges that presents, even in, just in dealing with their lawyers.
You're completely right. I mean, the problem is, they don't necessarily understand all the subtleties of French or English language, but the problem is that these people they're so nice. They don't want to disturb anybody, so that they're too shy to say, "I don't understand what you say. I don't get what you mean." For example, when they appear in front of the courts, there's an interpreter there to help them. But when the judge say, "Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what we mean? Do you want a translator?" They're too shy to say, "Yes, I need a translator." So they say, "No, I understand." But if you look in their eyes, they don't understand. And that's them. They're condemned to go afterwards to jail, in jail. So the barrier of the language is very important, and that's the reason why we have to make sure that they understand, and that we have good interpreters. So let's encourage them to use the services of an interpreter, and to make sure that they understand what's going on. Because at the end of the day, it's their case, it's their offense, it's their right to be represented correctly in the language of their choice and in their own language.
When the courts, the mobile courts, go into these remote communities, you mentioned it would be in the local school or community center, but how does the infrastructure impact client conferring with their lawyer, or even how it takes place in the community?
But in many communities, there's no infrastructures.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning, apart from in bigger centers like in Pivo Nituk, there's a very nice infrastructure, but let's say in Selwit or even in Inukjuak, or anywhere else, the court sessions will be held in an arena, in a locker's room, in a gym, the lawyers will have to meet their clients often. You won't believe it, in the restrooms. There's no privacy, or in the corridors, in the lockers' room. What we realize is that there's a big lack of infrastructure. We are in Canada. We're in a democracy where we say that justice has to be rendered correctly. I don't think that when a lawyer has to meet his client in a restroom to get some privacy, that this is fair justice.
And where would you like to see the change start?
We made 12 recommendations in our report. We could have made 50, 60, 70 recommendations. We decided to choose only 12. And that's, I think, where we have to start. For example, one of those is that, for example, we have to have more court sessions in the north. We have to clarify the roles of the actors of justice, the role of the government. We have to have more interpreters. We have to give more verbal, oral information to the communities. We have to explain them. What about legal aid? Are you allowed to get legal aid? And also we have to, I think, promote the fact that the population has the right to education, and they should come to university. There's not enough Aboriginal lawyers in Canada. In fact, in reality, there's no Aboriginal lawyer except for a very, very small minority. But the information, education is very important. And also, what's very important if we talk about criminal charges or criminal conducts, we have to promote prevention of crimes and also rehab. And that's very important because when someone is accused or found guilty of, for example, sexual assault on a neighbor in a community of 1,500 people, when this person comes back in the community, there is still 1,500 people in the community, and this person has to be rehabilitated in the community.
We've talked about all of these issues, the impact it has on people facing charges, how some of these issues impact the community. But besides the people that are living in the North, why should other people care about it? Is there something bigger at stake for us in Canada?
My perspective is that if we promote a fair judicial system and we say that our judicial system applies to everybody, I think that the governments have to invest into justice everywhere. There's no, in my point of view, there shouldn't be two system of justice, or one for the largest communities, one for the largest cities, and one for the smallest communities. It makes no sense for me. So that's the reason why we have to sensibilize the population and the government, and make pressure on the government to say, hey, there's communities up north, and they have the right to the same services as we have here in the south.
Well, Bernard Sinnott, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.